This is SPA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Pod!
Welcome to a new episode of What the Puck. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast or like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/WTP podcast. Obviously, I'm not Brandon. He's on vacation this week, so if you're in the Ocean City area, you should stop by and say hi or stalk him a little bit. I'm sure it'll be fun. I'm Coach Dan. You can follow me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. But filling in for Brandon is my friend Amanda, a longtime Caps fan and loyal listener. Amanda, thanks for joining me tonight. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, Dan. I'm very excited to bring a little bit of a female perspective to this show.
That has been something that we've been missing a little bit. But before we get into talking about the Caps playoff hockey, let's go over a little bit of Caps news. Over the weekend, the team extended goalie Michael Neuwirth to a 2-year, $5 million deal. Comes with a cap hit of $2.5 million per season. I'm curious, what are your views on the young Czech goalie and his new deal?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of torn on the deal. I think that it's interesting. You know, it's nice to have two goalies, obviously, that we're familiar with, but I still think that, I'm not sure if Neuwirth is our number one guy. You know, I don't know. I think we could have used that money elsewhere. For example, Ribeiro. Just saying. I know that would leave us without an extra goalie, but I think that, I don't know. It's interesting. What do you think?
Well, I think you brought up an interesting point by talking about how he's a backup, yet he'll be making more money, at least cap hit, per season than our current number one goalie in Braden Holtby. So my thoughts when this deal was signed, and my thoughts with Neuwirth even before he signed this deal, because he was going to be a restricted free agent, was that he's probably going to get traded in the offseason. Now, that doesn't mean that Philip Grubauer is going to come up and be his backup, because I don't think that would be a good idea. I don't think you want your young goalie backing up Holtby, who likes to play a lot of games. I think the best thing for them is to trade Michael Neuwirth. And when you talk about Ribeiro, I think you could potentially replace Ribeiro in trading Michael Neuwirth. Now, it would depend where he would go. Initially, I was thinking Detroit might be interested, but they locked up Jimmy Howard to a long deal. Maybe someone like Calgary could be interested in Neuwirth. I don't know exactly who they have or who they might be interested in moving. I know you're a big fan of Ribeiro, and you probably don't like me saying that they could potentially replace him with somebody else. But we were talking about this yesterday where they don't have a lot of cap money next season. Not a lot sitting around once you have to sign a lot of guys, and they still would have to sign restricted free agent Carl Alsner. You have to sign restricted free agent Marcus Johansson, and you'll have to sign unrestricted free agent Matt Hendricks. And those are just a few of the guys that are going to be without a contract. Now there's Tom Pote as well, but no, I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen.
Don't go there.
Knowing George McPhee, you never know, but it's probably not going to happen. But in regards back to Neuwirth, I think what they're doing right now is they're signing him to a deal, and then they'll look to trade him in the offseason. And it might be easier to trade him because he's locked up to a deal, because the new team won't have to deal with it. And if you bring him in as your number one goalie, $2.5 million per season is not that bad of a cap hit, especially if you're a young team. That gives you some more room to make some moves.
But do you really see, my problem is that he has just not been proven to be able to be a number one goalie. So I don't know if a team would actually take a risk on him being your number one goalie.
Well, then to some extent, neither has Braden Holtby. I mean, he has not played a full NHL season. This was his first full NHL season, and it wasn't even a full NHL season. So they potentially could go with these two guys next season, although I think cap-wise, it's going to be almost impossible if they want to be able to have a full and talented team next year.
Yeah, but see, I know what you're saying, because at first when you said he hasn't played a full NHL season, I was like, what are you talking about? He just played one. But that was a good point, that this isn't a full season. But I don't know. Holtby is just getting stronger to me. I think he's getting more confident in his game. Team's getting more confident. And I think, I just think it'd be a waste to have two competing starting goalies. I mean, I look at what's going on with Crawford and Emery, and he's our number one. Crawford's our number one, but yet Emery's playing more. Like, I just don't know if that consistency is good for, or inconsistency is good for a team, and I don't think we want to be in that position where we have two goalies battling again. Didn't work out well with Varlamov and Neuwirth.
Well, to some extent, I think Neuwirth would be the new Varlamov, and that we'd move him out and bring in some some draft picks, some prospects, or even a player in the end. I mean, I agree with you. I think that Neuwirth, I don't think it was a mistake necessarily to sign him. I do think it'll be a mistake if they decide to keep him around. Let's move on to some other news. It was revealed that Brooks Laich, one of your favorite players, had surgery to repair a sports hernia. There's talk he could make it back if the Caps make it to the second or third round. Do you think it is in the team's best interest to rush him back to the second or third round, even if he isn't quite ready?
Well, I think Oates has already said that he would not play Brooksy unless he is 100%, which is interesting. I mean, he's been pretty adamant about that. Now, he also came out and said that Brooksy wasn't going to have surgery after the surgery had already happened. So I think there's a little bit of that. But honestly, I don't know. Brooks Laich is key to that team. I like to think the fact that, you know, the turnaround started happening when both he and Mike Green showed up back on the ice this year. I'd like to think they played a part in that. I think if we make it to the second or third round, then I think it depends on how the team's doing. Because if we're in that third round and we're winning, then keep him off. But if it looks like there's a possibility of us getting out, pull him on.
I think that was perfect. I think that was excellent the way you put it. I was thinking that earlier when I was writing down the notes for the show, and I was thinking, if they make it to the second or third round, do you really want to mess with the chemistry? Now, that isn't to say that Brooks Laich will cause problems when he comes on the team, but if everything's going well, I would see no reason to bring him in to replace anybody. I think the only guy you can maybe think of replacing would be someone on the fourth line like Volpatti, and that isn't a shot at him, but just that Brooks Laich would bring more to the team, I think technically, than Volpatti does.
Right, but I think you also have other players that you'd be watching out for because, you know, I think that the history with our team in the playoffs, interestingly enough, is that there's always that one person who nobody during the regular season was kind of a non-entity or just kind of like a fourth line or something that, you know, or was just a pull-up. Like, look at Beagle last year who came out of nowhere. Nobody would have predicted that Beagle would have been so clutch, and he was pretty good in the playoffs. Like that happens to us a lot. And so I think it's hard to predict, okay, who would Brooks Laich replace? Because it may end up be that he's going in for somebody a little bit, you know, second or third line, a little bit higher than you would predict at this point.
I agree. I think that was, I think it's going to be hard. It's going to be a difficult decision for them to make, but that's even if he's going to come back. I mean, I've been saying for a while now that I don't think he's going to play this season. I think even if they're in the third round, I think you hold him out because of you have a lot of money invested in him with his salary cap hit is something like $4.5 million.
Yeah.
You have to hold on to him. Let's move on to the last two games of the season. I know you thought they were just thrilling, outstanding games. The Caps lost in overtime to Ottawa on Sergei Scumbag Gonchar's slap shot, but were able to come back against the Boston Bruins, which was nice, to force overtime, and then got the 2 points for Mike Green's winner. What did you think of these two games?
Well, I think they lost to Ottawa because they, too, were bored with that game. I mean, that game was so boring. It was hard to watch. So as a player, I think they had to have been bored. Either that or just disengaged. And maybe it's because they're not focusing now there. They've come so far these last couple of weeks of the season that, you know, they're just focusing on the playoffs, and they knew they just had to do what they needed to do to stay where they are. And they were clinched their spot. But the Ottawa game, boring, but it was what it needed to be, even though we lost. And then, the last game against Boston was boring for most of the game, but, you know, came up. Mike Green, I'm very happy with the way that he's playing. And I don't say that a lot about Mike Green lately.
No, I know that you are not a big fan of Mike Green lately.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it was a good game. And I think it ended up being a nice win. It was nice coming back for, you know, being down 2-0. But if you look at Boston's stats, apparently they have a tendency when being up 2-0 to lose a game.
Well, I do say it's the worst lead in hockey.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the fun stuff, the upcoming playoff series. For the fourth time in 5 years, the Caps will be playing against the New York Rangers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. During that time, the Caps are 2-1 against the Blue Shirts, with their only loss being last year in the second round where they took the Rangers to 7 games, but unfortunately they did lose. Now the interesting thing is that the teams are very different from last year in their own ways. Last year, the Caps were under a system, We're under Hunter's system that was all defense all the time, and that the Rangers are now without goal-scoring star Marian Gaborik after trading him to Columbus and star defenseman Mark Stahl due to injury, although he has been skating recently. What are your thoughts on the series?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting, like you said. So for the Rangers, we have two Rangers caps. Like, we have two teams right now that are doing pretty well. Like, the April records that we're looking at for both teams, both are have winning records. Caps are 11-1-1 for April. Rangers, I think, are 9-3-1. So both teams are coming off of a pretty good streak going in. But, you know, there's a lot of, I'm thinking the Rangers are kind of becoming a rivalry. You know, especially in the postseason. So you mentioned Mark Stahl being out. Horrific injury. I hope he gets better.
He's on our team. He's a bad guy, but like I'd rather he just like pull a muscle.
So he though was one of the key blue liners that they would pair up with Girardi up against Ovi, and they historically have been able to shut Ovi down. As much as Ovi can be shut down. Now, this is before Ovi was necessarily, you know, a right winger. But so I think that's going to be very interesting. It's going to present an issue for the Rangers of who they're going to play to shut Ovi down. And the other interesting thing for the Rangers, of course, their whole team is beat up right now. Ryan Clough, one of their other main guys who they have been counting on, you know, this Thursday got injured, an undisclosed lower body injury. And left the game and hasn't been back since. And I know he isn't even on the ice as of today. So that's going to be also interesting to see what happens with the Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a tough game. I agree with you that the injuries are going to make things certainly harder for the Rangers. I'm just excited to see Tortorella back at Verizon Center.
Yeah. Well, you know, though, but before we leave the injury front, this is also, knock on wood, I hate to almost say this out loud.
Did you just jinx us?
I did. I'm about to. I think this is like the first postseason that we're going into with a majority of our team feeling good. We have Green. He's feeling good. I mean, that's unheard of.
That's true.
You know, Ovi, there's no, as far as we know, now Ovi always holds that close to the chest and doesn't really tell, but you know, cause that last, was it last year or the year before where he came out afterwards and was like, yeah, his shoulder was hurt the entire time. Nobody knew and he had to have or almost had surgery. Do you remember that? Am I making that up?
Yeah.
But, you know, our team right now, the only significant injury that we have would be Ward. And talking to whichever Caps fan
Ward
you're talking to,
like.
Well, yeah, like, but that's been a whole season one. You know, they've been without him. He's only played 9 games this season, and I'm aware of that because he was on my fantasy team. but, yeah, so Ward is the only one, and it depends on which Caps fan you talk to, whether or not you consider that significant. But I'm feeling good about us right now.
It's good. in regard to things that I'm worried about, I'm kind of worried about Henrik Lundqvist. He's my big concern right now with that team. Because when he is on top of his game, he is one of, if not the best, goalie in the league. In regard
and the best looking. Thank you.
That is from your perspective, yes. You're more than welcome to admire him as long as he's currently sitting in the goal with the puck behind him in the net. But in regards to the Rangers, what worries you the most when it comes to playing them?
Honestly, I think it's the emotional game. I think that you mentioned it, you know, this is our third consecutive postseason playing the Rangers. And it's been interesting, you know, it's gone to 7 games the first time 3 years ago, and that was an intense 7 games.
Yes,
because
we
were down, and I remember being at some of those games. I'll never forget that game 7. That was heartbreaking. But, you know, that's my biggest thing. Can they get that emotion? Our team has been proven, I think, to really be an emotional team. And that kind of works either for us or against us in some ways, shapes, or forms. It works really well for us typically against Pittsburgh. I think we come in against Pittsburgh teams and know how to attack that, and we can take that on. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting because I think it's going to see how they rise to the occasion.
I think that was well put.
Sorry.
No, that was good. See, now when it comes to predictions, I am usually, if not always, wrong. So I'm not going to make a prediction for this series because I can guarantee you I will somehow jinx them and screw the Caps over. However, I don't know what your track record is. So what is your prediction for the Caps versus the Rangers?
Well, I'm not going to tell you what my, like, my track record is because that jinxed my track record.
That's true. That is a good point.
I will tell you it's better than yours, apparently.
Yeah, I suck.
Okay. You know. what's my prediction? I'm saying the Caps, and not just because I'm a home girl, you know. I really think the Caps can pull this out. I think that their Rangers have some significant injuries which are going to hurt them, and I think that the Caps are on a roll, and I love Ovi on the right wing. I think he's doing great. Ovi back, you know, this is who we need, and we're just playing well. So I'm saying Caps in six.
Caps in six. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other Capitals news that you would like to talk about before we head up 83?
I'm hoping we're going to be able to get another great reaction shot out of the playoffs.
You're talking about Matthew Perreault.
I am talking about Matty P.
Those are, I have yet to be, see, I've only gone to a couple of games this year. I think two, actually, in fact. And they all came, those came before his ridiculous celebrations. So, but I understand that they actually, the Caps entertainment crew have, they've actually included that in their post-game celebrations, in the
they
videos.
They have. I remember, recently I was at a game, and I was actually texting with you and trying to get you to send me the reaction shot so I could show my seatmate. And you did find it for me because you're awesome like that.
That's true.
But at the end of the game, sure enough, they had clipped them together with music and everything, like back and forth, and they show it, they're hysterical. That would make my day. It's just a couple more Matty P reactions because it's awesome.
I'm curious as to whether he was put up to it or if it was just something that just sort of spontaneously happened.
No, the first one, the initial one, that there's no way that anybody put him up
well,
to
that. Well, that was the shootout
right,
victory, that's a, right?
Right. And so that was the whole, like, oh, moment. Yeah. That was totally...
The second one was just a game that they just won.
Right. And if you see that, it's interesting because on the online, if you look at it, it's typically like just zoomed in on Matty P. But at the actual games, you can, they show like a majority of the bench and they're all clowning around. So I think at this point, it's not necessarily, I think it's still his reaction, but I definitely think they're looking to him kind of like ham it up a little. And he's definitely hamming it up and I'm loving it.
Well, the thing I like, I take away from that is it seems like these guys get along. And that isn't to say that in the past they haven't, Alexander Seven. But I think that it's good to see that they enjoy playing not only with one another, but for one another, and that it's going to keep going through the playoffs, and I think that's a good thing to have going forward. But if that's all the Caps news, let's go ahead and head up I-83 and talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. Hershey started their playoff series against the Providence Bruins this past weekend and won both games, including a stellar performance in Game 2 from Caps goalie prospect Philip Grubauer in an overtime victory. Hershey looks to close out the series Saturday at the Giant Center in Hershey. And actually, some other Hershey Bears news. Caps prospects Tom Wilson and Connor Carrick have joined Hershey after they were knocked out of the OHL playoffs while playing with the Plymouth Whalers. The team that knocked them out? Dale Hunter's London Knights. Nice. So that story little comes around there. Neither Wilson nor Carrick have played for the Bears yet, and there's no word on if they will be anytime soon. A little story, extra little tidbit for on Tom Wilson. Next year, he either has to play for the Capitals or go back to the Plymouth Whalers. He cannot play for Hershey next year because of an agreement between the AHL and the Canadian leagues. I believe it's you have to be turning 20 at a certain point, and he will not have at that point. But there's the possibility that Wilson will actually be playing with the Washington Capitals next season. Apparently, George McPhee very much likes this guy. He's a nice, gritty guy. I know when he was drafted, they compared him to Milan Lucic.
Nice.
Although I'm going to guess he's a little bit less of a douche. So we never know going forward. In regards to Reading, they were actually down 2-1 in their series against the Florida Everblades. That's a nice name. They are now up 3-2 after back-to-back wins on Friday and Saturday and look to close out their series Tuesday at the Sovereign Center in Reading. For more and up-to-date information regarding the Reading Royals, be sure to follow We Bleed Purple on Twitter at @purple_we_bleed. That's pretty much all the news in Hershey and Reading. Now, let's head around the NHL. Before we check out the different playoff series, let's go over some quick NHL news. First, the Dallas Stars have fired general manager Joe Nieuwendyk and replaced him with the Detroit Red Wings assistant GM Jim Nill. In other people getting losing their jobs, Colorado has fired head coach and former Washington Capitol player Joe Sacco. And as of this evening, the Colorado Avalanche have won the first pick in the NHL draft, giving them the rights to take defenseman Seth Jones, who grew up in Denver. Just thought it was a nice little story there. It's just too bad that the Caps don't have Colorado's first round pick this year instead of last year. All right, let's go into this, check out the rest of the playoffs and get some predictions. Let's start with the East. The number one seeded evil, hate them, Pittsburgh Penguins. The flightless Birds will take on the young and upcoming eighth seeded New York Islanders.
First time the Islanders have made the playoffs in how long?
A very long time.
Yep.
A very long, they are a young and up and coming team. I've compared them to what the Caps are actually going through, in years past. This is not going to be the first time they make the playoffs, for the next couple of years. I'm going to say Penguins in six. What do you got?
Well, first of all, when you refer to the Penguins, please call them the Penguins, because have you never noticed that certain announcers always refer to them as the Penguins?
It's Pierre McGuire.
Yeah, the Penguins. So that's how I refer to them now. And I, too, sadly, will be taking the Penguins. I would like to point out, however, that, you know, since they will be in New York, apparently getting sunburn shouldn't be a problem for Gino. As we all know, Malkin did miss a game with that mysterious upper body injury, aka sunburn, when he was down in Florida. So that might work for him.
Yes, the Penguins claim that that wasn't the case, but we all know what it was. He got Marty Cordova'd. In the next series, we have the number two seed Montreal Canadiens versus the seventh seeded Ottawa Senators. Your prediction?
I'm gonna go with Montreal here. I'm sticking Montreal. I didn't tell you the games last time, sorry. But yeah, I'm gonna stick with Montreal, even though Ottawa's doing okay lately. I'm gonna say Montreal in five.
In five? I agree. I think Montreal's gonna win. They've certainly been playing their best of hockey. That didn't make sense. They've been playing their best hockey lately. I'm going to say Montreal, and I'm going to go ahead and give them the sweep. I'm going to say Montreal in four.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, now I'm going to be wrong because all my predictions are always wrong. All right, moving on. We already talked about the 3 versus 6 seed, so we can go ahead and move on to the number 4 seeded Boston Bruins, a little bit of a slide lately, are taking on rivals and number 5 seed Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah. Your thoughts?
It's going to be a good matchup, I think. Boston's been having a slightly rocky road lately. I don't know. I'm probably, unfortunately, going to take Toronto. And I'm going to take Toronto in six.
See, I was going with Boston up until maybe about, 15 seconds ago. I'm going to go Toronto in seven. I think this one's going 7 games. I'm going to go Toronto Maple Leafs in 7.
Wait, what happened 15 seconds ago to make you change your mind?
I don't know. Okay. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, Boston has been struggling as of late. They were winning the Northeast, and then they lost it to Montreal. I think they're going to continue to struggle. I think Tuukka Rask is getting his first experience of playing full-time in the NHL playoffs, and he's going to be playing in Toronto, a city that has been missing the playoffs for 7 years. I think the fans are going to be crazy up there. I think it's going to be rather difficult, even though Boston does get 4 of the 7 games. I'm going to go Toronto, in 7.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine.
So I had after the whole Boston bombing things, which was, you know, horrific, then the next game they played was the Boston Penguins game, and the Penguins won. And part of me was thinking, you know, you kind of could have thrown the game, Penguins, and let Boston win because the town needed that.
That's true. And that's an interesting point to bring up. Does the city and everybody sort of get riled together and come together to get a nice playoff run? It's a possibility.
Right. And I'm hoping they do because I think Boston needs it. I think
Well, the Red Sox are doing okay right now. I'm sticking with Toronto. All right. That's it for the East. Let's head over to the West. The number one seed and President's Trophy winner, Chicago Blackhawks, are taking on the eighth seeded Minnesota Wild and Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. Who do you have?
Well, we all know what happens when you're the President's Cup winner, don't we?
Unfortunately we do.
So, and I don't think that means they're going to go out in the first round. I would be shocked if they went out in the first round because as much as, yes, they're, you know, the curse of the President's Cup. But Chicago is doing really well this season. I'm going to have to pick Chicago, and I'm going to give them the sweep.
Ooh. She's going the sweep. I agree with you. I think Chicago's gonna win. I do think Minnesota is an up-and-coming team. I think they started something good with Parise and Suter, and I think they're going to go from there. I don't think this is gonna be their year. I think Chicago in five. Let's move on to the second-seeded Anaheim Ducks, led by head coach Bruce Boudreau.
Bruce!
They'll be taking on the number seven seed Detroit Red Wings, which is a little surprising to say. Can Boudreau overcome his track record in the playoffs? What do you think?
I think he can, and because, and this is also surprising to say, and my cousins are going to kill me for saying this, Detroit barely made the playoffs this year. For the first time ever, there were actually going to be conversations. There was a possibility that we were going to be talking NHL playoffs without mentioning the Detroit Red Wings. Now, they pulled it out, and they're in, but I just don't know if they're going to be able to do it, and I really think that Anaheim is going to take them. I do think it might take seven games though. Because I think Detroit has been doing better, and they have a fight in them like no other team. But I think Anaheim's gonna pull it out.
I agree with you. It's gonna go seven games, but I'm going with Detroit. I think Boudreau's systems, we've seen it before. It's all offense. It's no defense. I don't know if these guys know how to play in the playoffs. I think Detroit does. I think, yes, they've struggled considerably. They've had some injury troubles, but I think when it comes to the playoffs, the Red Wings know what they're doing. I think they take Anaheim in seven. Let's head over to Vancouver, and we'll talk about the third-seeded Vancouver Canucks as they take on the sixth-seeded San Jose Sharks. Who do you take in this one?
Well, it's funny because I just want to say that I kind of feel like, is there a matchup that people could care less about?
That's sort of the thing. They say the NHL only cares about the East, and it's like, well, I know, but like, you know, Vancouver's a nice city. I've been out there. It's actually a very nice city.
Right, but so if you don't live in San Jose or you don't live in Vancouver, like, do you really care?
Not really.
No, which is awful to say. But you know what? They both have aquatic, mascots going on. We've got the whales and the sharks.
That's a good point. Nice little side story for the kids.
So who wins, a whale or a shark?
If you're asking me, I'm taking the whale. I'm taking the Canucks in six.
Okay, I could support that. San Jose, I don't know. I'm going with you, Vancouver.
Vancouver in six. All right, let's head over to St. Louis, where the fourth-seeded Blues are taking on the fifth-seed and defending cup champions in the L.A. Kings. Jay Bouwmeester will be playing in his first ever NHL playoff game. Can he win his first ever playoff series? Amanda, what do you got?
Okay. So, who do I have? I'm going with the Kings.
How many games you got?
How many games do I have? That's a good question. I think that they're gonna take it in, I think this one can go seven, because these two teams are pretty evenly matched.
That is exactly what I was thinking. I was going to take LA in seven. I think the Blues, just like Minnesota and a couple of, and the Islanders, are a young and up-and-coming team. I like St. Louis, but I don't think that they're going to be able to take on LA. I think LA knows how to play in the playoffs. They have a lot of the same players from last year during their cup run. I'll take LA. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go LA in six. I'm going to take it. They're going to take it a little easier, even though they have to win a couple of more games in St. Louis.
Well, and I think St. Louis has the issue of, I think St. Louis has the issue of goalie. I don't think they
That's a good point.
I don't think they have a strong enough goalie to go the whole way.
I think that's a good point. They've had a bit of a goalie carousel going on between Jake Allen and Halak.
Halak.
And I'm blanking on the other guy's name at the moment.
But they've had some goalie issues this year. I mean, Halak was their go-to, and then he was not. Also on my fantasy team this year until I dropped him. He wasn't playing well.
That's the thing with the Blues right now. They've had that goalie thing going on, and it'll be interesting to see who they decide to go with in the playoffs and whether the goaltender will be able to retain any confidence, knowing at any moment he could get pulled and replaced by somebody else. I wonder if that is what will do him in. That's pretty much all of the NHL news. That's all the playoffs. That's pretty much it for tonight's recording. Amanda, I'd like to thank you for joining me tonight.
Thanks. It was fun.
If you want to follow the show on Twitter, check it out at WTP_podcast, or you can like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/WTP podcast. You can also check out our brand new website. Head over to whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Not only can you check out the show there, but you can also learn more about the show, Brandon and I, and from there check out all of the other shows as part of the Brando Cash Network. For more of my views on Caps hockey, you should go to CapitalsOutsider.com. It is a fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. Now for more up-to-date news and insight on Caps hockey or any of the other sports and teams that I follow, like the NBA San Antonio Spurs, who dismissed the Lakers in four games. That's right, Kobe. Follow me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. Now, I can't do the speech quite like Brandon can, but if you enjoy the show, you can help us out by getting our name out there. All we ask is that you tell a friend. Have them check it out. Maybe they'll tell a friend. They can tell their friends, so on and so forth. You can also give us a review on iTunes, which will help us get the What the Puck name out there. Thank you very much for checking out the show. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
If this was a video thing, I'd have to have the layout. All right.
If this was a video thing, I'd have to get dressed more than just what I'm... Yeah, never mind. I have a sweatshirt and sweatpants on, so
right,
I'm...
So that part's going in the... That's going into the outtakes.
I realized the instant I said it. I was like, yeah, that didn't come out right.
That was awkward. Let's head up to Vancouver, and we'll talk about the third-seeded Vancouver Canucks taking on the sixth-seeded San Jose... Blah, blah, blah. Let me try that one again. If you would want to follow the show on Twitter, and... Oh, that was terrible. That was horrible! I'm gonna try that one again.
Sorry, were you expecting me to say more?
I just like completely butchered it. I'm gonna try that one. That's definitely gonna go in the outtakes.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman. For more information, go to brandocash.com.